For more than a decade, FTI has strived to become the leader in the aftermarket performance transmission and converter industry. We've joined forces with McLeod Driveline Components under the leadership of top fuel funny car pilot Paul Lee, and now have a larger distribution network, more resources, and more power. Come see us in the pits and ask how you can join the FTI family. It's not cheating. It is the competitive edge.
It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. This is WFO Radio.
Hey everybody, WFO, we are back. Another winter view. That's right, we're going to talk pro stock today with Derek Kramer. And I don't like the idea of not going racing this weekend. I wish we could go NHRA Camping World Drag Racing 52 times a year. I really do. All right, I don't. That's kind of a little bit of an exaggeration. But we can catch up with our winners right away. We had Austin Prock. We've got Derek Kramer today. So all you fans of Pro Stock, if you were watching yesterday, when one of our listeners was like, I don't get Pro Stock and I think it's boring, we're going to answer some of those questions here today. Some of the things that you can only know from inside the cockpit of a race car. Like, why is it so cool? And to me, it's funny. I went out and like did like lawn maintenance after that. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But it's my mission to make sure everybody understands that there's no way you can accelerate from zero to 210 miles an hour in less than 7 seconds and have it be boring. It's just not possible. And so we got to do a better job of telling the story. We're going to do it. Also, May the 4th be with you. May 4th, Star Wars Day, or more importantly, to the drag racing universe, John Force's birthday. Happy birthday, John Force. Which is very cool. We'll be hearing from John on the show in the coming weeks and months. So be sure to subscribe and click the bell. Never miss his show. And big shout out and thank you to our great sponsors, the people who make it possible for me to go WFO, like Bernie Speed Shop, BURNYZZ.com, whether it be their social media feed, which is just car culture all over the place, Frame Off Restorations. You're buying, you're selling, you want to sell on consignment. They've got a great audience that goes through there. They're a cornerstone of the community out there in Ocala, Florida. We had our big fan fest out there this year. Great stuff. Follow Bernie's, check him out. And the next time you are looking for something over the top and extravagant, Classic Muscle, Exotic, they've got all kinds of cool cars. They even sell e-bikes there. I know someone who was able to pick up an e-bike over there. And the thing is rad. Is there such a thing as a rad e-bike? And the answer is yes. Pretty cool. Those things go like 45 miles an hour. Go to Bernies.com to find out more information. Of course, Phillips Connect. Phillips-connect.com. That is the website for smart trailer technology. It is connected via the internet, and it's monitoring all the systems on these over-the-road trucks. So if you've got a fleet of trucks and you're looking and getting safer and more efficient and knowing about your cargo loaded versus empty capacity and weight, wheel bearings, brakes, all of those things that keep you on time and keep you safe and keep everybody out there safe, go to Phillips-connect.com. And if you want a personalized introduction, email me, joe@wforadio.com. And I will put you together with the folks at Phillips Connect. We already learned a little bit about FTI performance transmissions and torque converters, dot 90 racers, big money bracket racers. It's a no-brainer. All you got to look, pro mod, top sportsman, top dragster. If you're making that power, FTI are the three letters that you need to know. And everybody's saying it, FTI, over and over again, again and again. And then there's Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, whether it be stock eliminator or Formula One. Total Seal fits the rings. Go to their website, browse, do some browsing. Like, we're browsers. Go check out the website, whether you need one ring or whole set of rings, whether you want their total conform rings or whether you want gas ported rings to try to get around the rules. Which it's totally legal, right? Like, we'll do the gas porting in the rings and not the pistons. Stock Eliminator doesn't let you do that, but they've got a ring for it. Go to totalseal.com to find out more information and check them out. Later on in the show, I'll tell you about samtech.edu. I'll tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School and my main man, Marvin Rodak, and his coffeeandgrills.com, plus how to get some swag and some merch and the WFO mobile app, which is free. Speaking of apps, here's someone who this is business, right? When he's not on the weekend, running pro stock and winning races, Mr. Derek Kramer. What's up, Derek? How are you?
Hey, Joe. How you doing? I'm doing well.
You won the race, man. You won the race. I get, we got to get a little more excitement out of that. You won the race. I know you're working, though. It's already Wednesday.
Got to have a short-term memory in drag racing. It's, you got to take the highs and the lows with the lows, but you got to stay stay pretty even keel because the victories do come few and far between, but got to enjoy them. But at the end of the day, you got to do it again the next week, and that's where the real performance advantages start to show.
I love hearing you say that. So you made back-to-back finals, and you are the perfect example of a person and a team. You know, it's a family racing team, and your dad is totally hooked on this deal, and so are you, and so is your sister, and you guys are a family that drag races. But you did go through a tough period where there was a mystery problem, which has now been solved. But man, the fortitude that you guys showed to keep going and just bashing your head against the wall to try to figure out one of those gremlin problems that are so confusing. Everybody has chased one or two in their lives. You guys battled it. And, you know, I don't want to tempt the gremlins out there and say that you won, but at least you're having some really strong performances this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the problem with a gremlin, right? It's way easier when you're, God forbid, your transmission blows up or your engine has a catastrophic problem. Like, you can pinpoint what the issue is. When you have some of these gremlins, whether they be electrical or otherwise, noise, interference, whatever happens to be causing it, like, and especially when they're intermittent and you can't put your finger on it, that's the frustration. That's where you're like, what are we doing wrong? Just keeps creeping into your head, and it's toxic, but you have to kind of just keep pushing through and keep going to every race, keep whittling away at it and keep trying to figure out what is happening so you can overcome the challenge in front of you.
Well, and you guys did with the back-to-back finals end of last year. You started coming out of it, and there were moments of, okay, this, we've solved it. Oh, we haven't solved it. But then you did eventually get it solved and were able to finish strong last year. But I think in the past 2 weeks, and Michael Heiner, who does a show for our Patreons, he credited your 006 in Vegas as like a real turning point. Like, if you don't get that run, you don't learn something that you eventually learned, and then you stayed and tested and you proved the point, which is big. You know, that's part of the scientific method, right? Like, you got to prove that it worked, and you did. And then you come to Charlotte and you're able to win, laying down some of the best runs that you guys have made in years. So talk a little bit about that process, and who would have thunk that 1006 was so valuable?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So you get, in racing, the more runs you get, the more information you get. The more information you get can be a double-edged sword, but for the majority of the time, you're getting more data. You're able to compare your notes to the last run to be able to make a better decision for the next run. So when we're able to string a consecutive final rounds together like that, throw testing in between, now we have a bunch of runs all back to back to back, all in a row. Whereas when I first started racing, I was lucky to get five runs. I'm hoping for four, and I'm lucky to get five, right? When I first started, and now being able to string a final round appearance directly with a test session with another, you know, five, six runs. I can't remember how many we did that morning to verify everything that we thought we saw, and then go in to Charlotte and get those same amount of runs going all the way to the final and winning. I mean, you can't replace that amount of data with, it's just invaluable. There's no better way to put it. And with all of those gremlins that we were having over the last 2 years, it basically took that notebook and threw it away. Like, it didn't matter what we did, because we didn't have any way to know if the gremlin affected that run or didn't. And we didn't know which way it would have affected it either, which was the kind of the problem with how we were running at all. Like, towards the end of the year, like you said, we were doing better, but it was because we threw those notes away and looked 2 years ago what we did and went from there. So yeah, it's getting runs back to back is huge.
Huge stuff. And it's in the NFL, the team that wins the Super Bowl has to draft last. There's a mechanism to try to level the playing field. But in drag racing, the team that gets that's winning gets the most runs, gets the most data. That's the most knowledge, right? Formula One now has got a thing with, you know, wind tunnel time and fluid dynamics, that the further down the sheet you are, the more time you get. And, you know, they're trying to do it. We have nothing like that in drag racing. If you can't figure out a problem, you're going to have a tough time figuring out a problem because you're not getting any runs.
Yeah. And it definitely not going to get any runs on the NHRA prepped track. I can go rent a track and test and do whatever I can, but at the end of the day, that track prep is going to be slightly different than what we race on every weekend. So you can take some information, but not all of it.
Got it. All right. We've got everybody out there weighing in, saying what's up, saying WFO. Jeff saying congratulations. Got a lot of people. Monica saying congratulations, Derek, to you and your team on a fantastic win. Eddie, congratulations. Yeah, it has been a minute, but it's kind of weird how the convergence of data points. You're the defending race winner going to Chicago, which is, it's been a while. You got your last win at Charlotte, and now you won again at Charlotte. Like, that's a lot of coincidence happening all at the same time. Most recent race winner, defending winner in Chicago, most recent win in Charlotte. You're a computer guy. You're a math whiz. Explain all that.
I got to head to Vegas, I guess, is the explanation, because it really doesn't make sense, right? Like, go put some money on black or something, because it doesn't make sense. It shouldn't. There's no way it's that much of a coincidence. But there's a couple of stats in drag racing that I really like, and a couple of achievements that I think are really neat. Sweeping the Western Swing, I think, is one of them. Really, really awesome. They have the opportunity to try and do that. That's a cool thing, like a little sport within our sport, which is really neat. The other one that I really like is winning at all the tracks. That one's big. It's really hard to do, obviously. And the final one, the one that I think is kind of like the crowning achievement, is winning from every pole position. This adds another pole position for another qualifying position for me. So I'm happy about that. But those are kind of some of the really big pieces that I think are really neat in the sport, that we can potentially draw more attention to, because it's hard to keep track of in your mind. But at the end of the day, that's one of those things that we do on shows like this, where you go and talk to the drivers. Oh yeah, that was the final win I needed to complete XYZ achievement, which I think is really neat. So being able to kind of get another one of those, and yes, I did win. This is my first win at a racetrack that I've already won at, which was neat. The fact that it was a different format, which was also kind of cool. But yeah, it was still the Bellagio of racetracks over there in Charlotte, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the four wide, that's a milestone too. I talked to drivers like, do you like four wide? And they're like, when I win, I'll like it. And boy, do they. Soon as they win, right? Like, oh yeah, this is great because I've conquered it and the other people haven't. Isn't Jeg the only person who has won from all 16 qualifying positions? I think that's the stat.
I think you might be right. Yeah, it's definitely one of those ones where you're like, that's an accomplishment right there. Just especially in pro stock where everything is so close. At least now it seems possible. When I first started racing, winning from the 16th spot seemed like a pipe dream. You were off over a tenth, and you're just like, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But you know, I need some real luck to make it happen. But now it could be any weekend. You could qualify first or 16th, or not qualify anymore.
Yeah, we had 23 cars. That was amazing. All right, let's talk about your round by round, which I guess is quad by quad. Hartford, number one qualifier. You guys usually pit near each other, and there's some information exchange between the teams, and you guys help each other out. But you guys had to, boy, is there anyone you have run more in first round than Matt Hartford, right? Like, you guys are side by side a lot. You were side by side all day long. You guys were, you're 8, Troy's 9, Quadra's 16, Hartford's won back-to-back first time, and you and Matt were able to transfer, but David kind of pushed through. Did that distract you? It seemed like it distracted everybody.
I think so. I mean, you can tell in the reaction times that I was not 100% prepared. I went into that final round just trying to make sure I wasn't distracted. Something happened in Vegas. I had like a 1:30 reaction time. I don't know, I blinked. I knew it came up on the two-step late. I'd missed something. And so I went into that final round just being like, just go out there and do everything we've done all weekend. I had reasonably good lights all weekend, short of another one of the four wide snafus from earlier in qualifying. So as long as I go out there and I do something reasonably close, I know I have enough power under the hood with the KB Titan program that I can make a good run. And if it's close enough, it's good enough to win. And that's what I kind of knew going in. So yeah, it was one of those ones where I just wanted to make sure I could do something close every time and every round. And I've been on the you left too early side. I've been on the you left whenever someone else left side. And so I think at this point, I just have had the experience that I knew to kind of just hang out and wait for Amber. But that's kind of what my answer would be if I had to, you know, if I had to put put my words to it. That's just kind of, I've seen it at this point.
Right. That was a wild run though. First round, Michael told us that he had left some weight out of the car here or there. I won't tell you that he said he were eating Reese's peanut butter cups and that was the reason, but that you had to really drive the car first round. Like you had to hustle it around. Yesterday, we were having like a discussion with one of our viewers out there in the chat section, and hopefully they're all sharing the show to get this interview out there, defeat the algorithm. You know, it's very helpful, guys, when you share and you like and engage and, of course, put your comments down there in the comment section. But nothing boring about that run, right, where you're going one direction, you got to shift again, and still ran a very strong run, all things considered. That had to give you confidence for the rest of the day. Like, boy, we do have a fast hot rod on this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much parity right now. Every time you make a good run, you kind of get that little, I don't want to say it's a chip on your shoulder, but you kind of get that confidence, that boost, that like, oh, okay, yep, that's still, we're out here. We're supposed to be out here. Let's go. Let's keep going. Let's make that next run even better.
Excellent. Excellent. So then second round, you're back up against Hartford again, but now you got Greg and you've got, who's the other one? Aaron Stanfield. All right. So killers, everybody's a killer there, but you said already you got some swagger. You're starting to feel it a little bit. And that 55, that was a very solid run at that time, which got you lane choice in the final round. And we learned with Michael when we talked about it for, you know, his show, that that was important, that the lanes were all pretty equal, but everybody had a ranking. Talk a little bit about the run against Greg and Aaron and Matt, and you and Matt are able to transfer side by side once again. So that was now you're grooving, right? Like you got a bunch of rounds, you're going rounds. Those are the runs that you want to get that data.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was the, I think we had second choice in that quad. And so we kind of knew that our options were going to be one or four, I think. And that was kind of our ranking to determine which one we wanted. It was all going to be, I think Greg had lane choice and he ended up taking lane one, I believe. And so, yeah, we were kind of just bouncing back and forth between whichever one they didn't take, we were taking the other. And that's that. Obviously we got put in lane four. Lane four felt phenomenal, I have to say. I mean, I was told, and I can't guarantee this by any stretch, but I was told that was raw asphalt or raw concrete before we got there on Friday. So kudos to the Safety Safari team for like making that lane as good as it was. I mean, being able to put that pass down in the final that I did on a lane that had bare concrete showing the, you know, 3 days prior is amazing. We could race down dirt roads if Safety Safari was prepping them, I promise you.
I'm sure they love hearing that. And I know a lot of them watch the show and they do deserve, you know, I don't know what we can do for them, but like those of us with us, a little megaphone, want everybody to know how hard they work and what they do. And whether it was Vegas where there's a big oil down right in front of Caps and then Caps goes out and goes to number one, something like that. It just happens over and over again. So, all right, we got that photo of the final. You got Dallas was going for three in a row. You know exactly how quick and fast he is. His nickname is 00. You got Fernando Cuadra, who is an excellent lever and one of those that can come up 00 whenever. Yourself and Matt Hartford, who has been knocking at the door. And just give us a little insight into how you were sizing up the competition for this four wide final. You had just been in the final round the week before. And, you know, they say you got to keep knocking on the door before it opens. You wanted this door to open. and you're over there in lane four. You lay down another 55, an incredible pass, but just kind of walk us through the methodology as you got ready for the final.
Honestly, it was extremely, it felt rushed, right? Like you're in the final, I've been to many finals in general, let alone many finals recently. And the amount of turnaround time from semifinal to final just the amount of, like, it takes me about two pair to get into the car. There's not two pair in front of you in the final. There's nobody. your bike's just left. You better be in the car ready to go. And we're kind of like trying to figure out exactly what lane we're going to go in. And I think after we run the 55 in the semi, I don't think we have a choice, but we have to go back to lane four. We talked about it a little bit, but I don't think there's an actual choice there. I think you have to. So we did that. Felt a little rushed, like I was saying, but you get that, do the burnout, back up, you get that moment of panic still about, okay, I know I'm in lane four. What lane am I in? I'm in lane four. Okay, look at this section of the tree. You got that. And from there, it was just breathe, relax. Remember, you're out there having fun. Don't take it too seriously. My girlfriend always helps me with that, Adrian, when she's at the racetrack. At the end of the day, I am out there to have fun. And I'm over on this screen right here. I'm writing software for iPhone apps currently. And so that, like, it's great that I get to go racing every weekend, but I'm a software developer by trade. So I get to use that and have fun while I'm at the racetrack and work while I'm at work. So I get up there, I relax, and I let whatever happens in those other lanes happen. And I said in one of the top end interviews, you kind of have to decide if you're going to count to seven and deck it and go, or if you're going to wait for amber and deck it and go. And I think every other round I was waiting for amber and going. I put a gun to my head. I couldn't tell you if I was going to wait there or not, or if I was counting, because in my head, 7 seconds is a long time, and I know it's a long time. But I couldn't tell you I was ready to deck it and take off or the other way. So it was definitely a just relax and go down my lane and whatever happens, happens. And I remember plugging third and seeing Matt out of the corner of my eye getting really close, and then all of a sudden nothing. And two more gears and hit the finish line, and I see light, but I can't tell as I'm passing it if it's blinking or solid. And honestly, I don't know if I knew prior to that run if blinking was good or solid was good. I just knew that light was good, just because I've never won one, right? So all that matters in four wide is something lights up. I don't really care if it is blinking or solid, because I've never actually won. I never actually won one until this weekend. So yeah, it was. When I did see it go out, I'm like, okay, it's blinking. And then finally Mikey came over the radio and told me that means we won. So we were good. It was great.
So funny. How many, like, that's one of the sub stories. Like, if we had unlimited budget, we could just put a camera crew on everybody. That all the times during the course of the day that a team will go, yeah. Oh, like we thought we won, but we didn't win. And there was a little glitchiness, I think, from the rain with the scoreboard lights. Some lights would pick up. All right, you mentioned Heiner.
I've always wondered that in Charlotte.
Yes.
It seems like there's a delay between one scoreboard and the other. And I don't know. It feels like it, just from, like, a couple of times that I've seen it, a couple of the different glitches or whatever we call them. It just almost feels like there's just a delay from when one activates to when the next one. I don't know. It's interesting.
I don't like to ever, I don't want to run down the most amazing facility in drag racing, but that I think is apparent that there is a little deal. Like, I think I saw a three pop up in your guys' two lanes, but I knew Hartford had pushed in the clutch. And so I was like, and I think it went 3-4 and then four was on. And, but I don't know in that moment, like, who knows what you actually see. All right. Heiner says, good job not screwing up. What is the relationship like with, team computer? Because he's computer guy and you're writing software. And so those jobs, everybody talks about, like the analytical nature and the way a software engineer's brain works. And I don't know, it seems like it might be a really good thing that your crew chief is also high level computer knowledge person, and you're writing software, but it's all over my head. So why don't you explain like how you guys communicate? And of course, Adam's involved and your dad's involved in all of that, but talk a little bit about that, the way you have to think to write software and how that works with every decision that is made on a pro stock. I mean, they're not all zeros and ones, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we try and put a number on anything that we can. If we can put a number on it, then we can analyze it. We might not have enough information or enough understanding to know how to analyze it currently, but maybe given some more time, some more runs, another sensor with another piece of information that we can draw a correlation between, that allows us to be able to take feeling out of the equation. Did you feel like you get the shift on that one? I don't know. Look at the shift time. Did I shift on time? Is my average shift time plus or minus of what the actual shift time was? That'll tell us if I was late or early. Did I let the clutch out too slow? Is the car reacting too slow? I don't know. Look at the bumper light with the high speed camera compared to the Christmas tree. Did I leave when I was supposed to and the car just bogged, or was I late? There's a lot of things that I go in deep, and we can tell a lot of that stuff because we put numbers on things. We can't do that if you're just trying to feel what it is. I feel like that run was a 48, but turns out it was a 55.5. So what was actually accurate? Well, the clocks were actually accurate.
And it seemed simple as that. But that's good that you guys are doing that. And Michael has said they put a lot of, you know, that you guys, if you can put a sensor on it, you put a sensor on it. But let's talk about some of the additions to your team. Let's talk about the rest of everybody. Michael in the middle, but you got Adam and you got Chris. And it's one of the smaller teams, maybe not the smallest team, but one of the smaller teams. You guys brought in Adam, I guess it's been 2 years now, middle of last year or the middle of the previous year. And Chris has been with the fam and is part of the fam now. But this is kind of, I don't know, you tell me, the minimum you can have and still be competitive in pro stock, right? Because there's a lot of, your dad gets his hands dirty, you're out there doing stuff. It's not easy every once in a while, turning the car, like you just said, you got to make changes. Talk about your team, because they scored here.
Absolutely. Yeah, Chris, he's been great. He's been with us since we were back in, since the burnout contest in Indy. That's how long Chris has been with us. So he's been around for some fun times and some not so fast times, turned into a bunch of race wins. I think we've got five now together. So, he's been great. We brought H in, Adam Hornberger. We brought him in, like you said, about 2 years ago now, for the exact reason we were talking about earlier. We would go out and we would make a great run, and then we make seven or eight bad runs without any explanation. We weren't able to pinpoint what was actually going on. So we brought him in with the sole responsibility of being a set of backup eyes that could potentially be a backup crew chief. You know, God forbid something happens to Mikey. I've had friends of ours in the sport where their crew chief gets sick and they got no one to back up the driver the next day or whatever, right? So, you know, at least another some more qualified help. And he's also a shock specialist. He worked with shocks for multiple companies and multiple teams for a lot of years. So being able to kind of bolster up that role, because we don't have anyone. Mikey knows that you can turn the top of them, as he would say, and then a change occurs. But what to change to make it do exactly what you want it to do, that we kind of lean on Adam for that, and it's been a huge help.
Do you think going forward, like, what do you think is going to happen with this team going forward? As in, do you feel that you are potentially on the verge of your best season ever, right? With all these problems in the rearview mirror and the car, those runs you made, those 55s were incredible when corrected. And Michael seems to think that there's more coming, and KB Titan are merging together and coming up with all those great ideas, making horsepower. And some of the competition that you guys have that normally run so well are, it's a sport of peaks and valleys. And right now they're having a valley. So what's possible for this team going forward?
I think sky's the limit, right? Like, I think that's the benefit. We've had one of our fastest corrective runs in the final in Chicago that we've ever ran before. And so going from Charlotte, where we corrected phenomenally fast, it's a little harder to compare Charlotte's corrected numbers to other tracks, but it was still being able to look at that run. And after we went back and looked at it, there's more in the run. We know looking at it that we could have went even a little bit faster. So having that knowledge, knowing that going forward, yeah, I definitely expect to continue to perform well. So as long as we, as Mikey puts it, don't screw up four times in a row, I expect to be back on the show at some point.
There you go. Well, exactly. And, you know, he's got his own show over there on our Patreons for the VIPs. And so we'll get you on there and he can like grill you and ask you questions and only certain people will be able to see it. But I said, what do you look forward to in the future? And he says, picking my nose and scratching my butt. That's Heiner. You had to go into the gutter, Michael.
He's a kept husband. What do you want from him?
That's what everybody says. That's what he said. And he says it too. So let's encourage everybody to go to Chicago. This is one there's going to be that pro stock call out. You guys didn't quite get into that one, but maybe for next year. But this is a very important race. So important that I'm bringing it up every single show, because I think there's someone that's watching the show that is, man, that's 200 miles away. Do I really want to go? And I think the answer is yes, that we need to go. We got to save this track. We got to show that this is not only a great racetrack, but very viable to do this every year, the way we're going to do it this year, where NHRA runs the event. Talk to the people out there. Get them out here. Get them out to the track, Derek.
I'm excited. I can't wait. For the record, if you're only 200 miles away, there's no excuse. I live 200 miles away from my race shop. I'm there all the time. So yeah, I can't say enough about the facility. It's one of the first tracks I went to that was a far away track with my father when he was racing comp. I would go to Brainerd, which was considered a home track for him, and Denver, which is a home track for both of us. And for one of the races that we went to that was far away was Chicago. And I loved it. It was great going. I got to see him race in a different venue that I'd never been to before. It was awesome. The facility's great. And the fact that I got a win there, a whole bunch of years later was awesome. And you gotta go. It's the best. It's one of the best tracks on the circuit.
Absolutely. You mentioned Denver. That's a bummer. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but for you, wow, that's gotta be, I've gone through that experience of the track that's very close to me going away. And then the next closest track going away, and it's heartbreaking and grueling. But Denver, oh my gosh, it's so sad, but we're going to send it out with a big party this year. But for you as a local, it's got to be gut-wrenching.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, right? I've had a number one qualifier there already. I wasn't able to get the victory. Greg took it from me. So I guess it's only fair that I keep taking it from him in Charlotte. So I suppose I'm getting him back. But it puts a lot of pressure on me to try and get a win at my home track before it's no longer there.
Wow, that is great. And, final thought, that burnout contest. Who'd have thunk it? Like that burnout contest really, or maybe it didn't, but I think it did kind of change your trajectory in pro stock. You guys decided to do something a little out of the ordinary and you melted your tires on the starting line for money and our entertainment. And we all loved it. And it was from that point that the Get Biofuel people, it was American Ethanol at the time. And, they've changed some names, et cetera, but the colors have been the same. They decided they wanted to be on board with you more than just a few races. I'm sure it was more than the burnout contest, but that's kind of the data point where it all changed.
Yeah. I think so. I think, we went into the burnout contest and I guess we knew where we were. We were in a low point in pro stock where there was 16 cars almost every weekend. And we knew we were a 16 to 13 qualified car. So we went into the burnout contest saying, well, at that point, we had already started inking a deal with KB to race with them the next year with a new car being built. So we kind of, it was almost a perfect storm of circumstance. We knew what we were going to do. We didn't have any illusions that we were going to be, top half qualifying and go out there and win Indy on our performance. If we were going to win Indy, it was going to be on some luck and broken rounds and red lights. So we went out there to have some fun and entertain the crowd. I will say that if you do a 24-second burnout on a brand new set of tires, and then you use those tires on a car that has a lot more power the next year, they're the best set of tires you have.
Oh, you just gave up the secret. Now we need everybody doing 24-second burnouts on a brand new set.
That's how you get it done.
Is that true? Those tires were actually good for you?
Absolutely. Number one qualifier multiple times then in 2018 were on that set of tires.
I know you're supposed to do a hard burnout on new tires. I just didn't know it was that hard. I figured they were garbage after you did that burnout.
Nope. We bolted them on. I'm not a tire expert, but the rough science is the weight has been removed and the cap is still intact.
Wow. All
so right. There's no deflection in the sidewalls and all that is all standard. So, but there's no weight because there's 24 seconds of rubber removed from them.
Right. Well, we need to see more of that. Maybe not. I don't know if NHRA wants everybody doing a 24-second burnout like every fourth race. Okay, let's talk to, before we let you go, I had one of our listeners out there, and I love a little battling and a little debate. And you know that I love pro stock, and I don't know why. I'm as a sportsman racer or bracket racer, someone has gotten into real cars, I just relate to them. There's a door, you get in it, you pull a lever, you shift, there's a clutch, it's got everything that race cars have. You go look at the cup cars in NASCAR and you look at a pro stocker and they're both cars, right? Top fuel dragster, funny cars, amazing stuff. Wow. Incredible. Loud fire. They explode, all of that stuff, but it's less of a car. And so I love pro stock and relate, but this gentleman was saying, it's I can't get into it. It seems boring. They just go straight, whatever. You drive these things. Give me your take on this category. What is it about it that keeps you intrigued and interested, and you're clearly not bored accelerating 0 to 210 miles an hour in less than 7 seconds?
Well, that's the fun part, right? That's easy. That's the easy easy answer is I get to go 200 miles an hour in less than 7 seconds. It's so much fun. You can be all serious and ready to bite the next person's head off, but when the tree comes down, you get to go 200 mile an hour. That's awesome. That's so much fun. A bad day at the racetrack is always better than a good day working. So there's that, right? That's step one. We'll get that off the table right away. The boring, if that's what we're calling it, is, yeah, you're seeing a bunch of professional drivers drive perfectly as often as they can in a row. Okay, put anybody in there and see if it is boring. I bet it's not. I bet the cars are bouncing all over the place. I bet it looks like another category that we have that has a pro tree and 1500 horsepower and full body cars. Those cars don't go straight. They go all over the place. They are wild and a handful. But you put professional people that are trying to be perfect every run, every gear shift, every launch, every time. That's where it's the competition that keeps us trying to strive for perfection. So you're not going to just overpower the racetrack and the number 16 qualifier is going to beat the number one qualifier. It's going to happen very rarely because the number one qualifier is trying to be just as perfect as the number 16 qualifier is. So you have to understand that perfection is what we chase in pro stock, not power.
I love that. That's a great line. Perfection is what we chase, not power. Well, because you're limited, right? You're naturally aspirated. And if Greg and those guys can find a half or one, that's a big deal. But in the end, you guys got to do it right. You got to hit those shifts. And if you don't, you get into the rev limiter, you could kill it. If you're too soon, you can kill it. If you have a bad light, you could kill it. If you cheat the clutch, you could kill it. And then those guys, we were just showing their photo. They're looking at you man,
why'd you do that?
Why'd you do that? Right? That's gotta be brutal though. I think, Erica says it all the time. There's 40 people working over there. You guys have got your crew. Everybody comes in and then they hand it to you. It's Heiner says, try not to suck.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's been our motto for a long time is don't screw up four times in a row. We go out there with the intention and the capability to know that we can go out there and we can win every single race and every single round and every single race. Like, we have the power to do it. We have the skill set to do it. And I have the ability to do it. All we have to do is collectively, all of us, not screw up four times in a row.
There it is. All right. It's been a while since we had you on the show. This is great. This is the first time I think you've been on since we've done the video stuff. You've won your way on now. But you got anything you want to say to the WFO universe, the fans, fans of you, fans of the team, all of that stuff, drag racing fans in general? I feel like we're having a great year. I just want to give you an opportunity to shout out to the folks out there or say something to the audience to keep them connected and interested as we got a couple weeks off. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I got to say thank you so much for showing up. If you guys didn't show up, we couldn't get the support that we get to be able to be out there on the racetrack and doing what we love to do. So to the fans of WFO and racing in general, thank you for being here. Please just come by the trailer, say hi. I'll be there. I'll be in Chicago. I hope I see you.
There you go. Derek, thank you so much. Congratulations. Huge win. Back-to-back finals. And moving in the right direction. It's going to be very interesting to see how you guys are able to take this momentum and you know, go forward. And I love your dad, man. Your dad is cool because he is not holding any cards close to the vest. He's happy. You know, he's happy. He's excited. You know, he's excited. He is seems very genuine and has a tremendous love for this sport. And has obviously given that to you guys as well. So thank you for coming on the show. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right. Later, Derek. Go write some software. There he goes. Derek Kramer with us here on WFO Radio. All right, guys, put your comments in the comment section. What do you think about that? And that's the thing. They're trying to be perfect out there. And there's so many different things that can cause you to not be perfect. And it's true in the Nitro ranks. I really want to avoid the comparisons. It's not about that. It's everything is interesting if you know what the heck is going on and what goes into it. Everything. There's something interesting, but you don't have to be interested in everything. You don't have to like every single kind of food, but at least you know that something is interesting to the people who love it because they're investing their lives in it. There's not too many people investing that much in stuff that's like boring. That's not the way it is. So we'll be following the Get Biofuel team through Hear It From Heiner. Michael Heimer got 7 episodes of pro stock stuff, and he goes out there and they get a win together, which is super cool. And Adam, great addition to the team, and Chris and Daria and Dave, they all do a great job as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of the year goes, especially this race coming up in Chicago. Thank you very much, Derek. I want to tell you about the people who make it possible for us to go WFO. And I also want to tell you about the WFO mobile application, guys. It's free. It's a mobile app, iPhone, Android. Every once in a while, someone will be like, you know, the Google podcast feed. And you know, it's glitch in the matrix. I don't know. The best place to go is the WFO mobile application for iPhone and Android. And on there you have every show, right? I don't know if you can see this exactly, but it doesn't matter. Just imagine that I'm showing it to you. Every show in the archive going all the way back. Plus the video, we have the video archive. And there's a news section, which I admit I could be putting a little more news up there. We're working on that in the future, but it is great. Check it out. And you can get merch right through the app. Just go to the menu and then click more and then click merch. And you can buy our merch right through the mobile application. And it is a great way to stay connected with WFO. We're going to be making some more changes to the app. And I just love the app. There's 7,000 people out there that get our push notifications. And we send out a push before every guest. We send out push notifications to let you know when and why and when shows are available, et cetera. I love when people, you know, write reviews and all that, but the mobile app is big. Marvin Rodak, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com, hot sauces, spice rubs, coffee. That's how I start my day with Rodak's. 817-924-6821. Call Marvin, order some coffee. It is going to be great. You will love it, no doubt. Everybody has so far. I've never had someone come to me and say, you know, it's not that good. They complain about anything. You know, you got to have it shipped. And that's a difference. Like, you can go to the grocery store and buy the whatever is there, your Folgers crystals, or you got to plan a little ahead and get Rodax, which is like two opposite ends of the spectrum. Go Marvin. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. Team building exercises and experience. You drive a dragster. You show up with nothing. You drive a dragster. It is amazing. And you get all the great benefits of hanging out with a team from Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. So if you want to set up a race or you want to go on the course, they travel around the country. You don't have to go anywhere. They go to different tracks. One of them is bound to be near you. Go to frankhawley.com and tell them you heard about it on WFO. Same is true for samtech.edu. This is a career. It's an education. If you want to be a CNC machine programmer, motorsport EFI tuner, if you want to do engine blocks, cylinder head machining, they have courses and all of that. They're located in the Houston area, and Brian Massengill is your guy. Go to samtech.edu, get the phone number, call Brian, tell him you heard about it on WFO, and if you happen to end up going to the school and graduate, let me know, because we've heard. And in fact, Chris Vang from Derek's team, if I recall correctly, was on when we were doing Samtech Factory Stock Podcast as a Samtech grad. So there's a little microcosm of what is possible. And yeah, WFO merch is always up and always available. It's on sale from time to time. We try to let you know when it is. Project Pontiac is ongoing. Definitely. We're trying to get this thing running again. And big thanks to the folks at Foggit. And if you are a racer, be sure to get one of these. You're definitely going to need it to protect the inside of your engine. All right, let's see what people have to say out there before we bust on out. Get out of here. I got Formula One tomorrow here in South Florida. Friday, I'm going Friday and Sunday. And super excited to watch Formula One here in my home city. Very, very close. Monica says she loves the push notifications. You know, sometimes I wonder if we're being annoying with them. I have push notifications from various news sources, and I keep up on all of that. We send out a push when a show is available and when we're going live and when you need a reminder. Like, it's been long enough. You need to be going through the WFO app and spending a little time with us. So there it is. Colorado, always keep a jacket handy. That makes perfect sense. Patty, nice interview. Proud of you and the entire team. That was for Derek out there. Way to go. Kramer family. No, very nice people. Love that saying. He's talking about, we're trying to be perfect. We're not looking for power. However he said that, we got to do that. Could be a t-shirt or a bumper sticker for Pro Stock. In the end, you walk through the Pro Stock pits. You see all these people working so hard to try to be perfect. And even when they are, there's a really good chance they lose. It's just brutal. And it's just so interesting to me. And I spent some time this past weekend, you know, when you're on Nitro Alley and they all start to warm up and everybody's going this side and that side, there's a big crowd over there. So the Pro Stock pit was in a different location this time. I actually kind of liked it, a little closer to the track, right at the end of the John Force grandstand, way at the very end. And just hearing everybody firing up, the Quadras are firing up, the McGahays are firing up, Derek's firing up, Hartford's firing up, Elite, Cape, everybody, just the sound of that 500 cubic inch gasoline powered, naturally aspirated engine. But naturally aspirated is significant. I know nowadays everybody's got boost on everything and everybody loves boost, turbocharger, pro charger, everything, screw, roots, boost. But the NA engine, there's got to be a place for it. It's got to be a pinnacle of NA racing, and that's Pro Stock. And I think it is really, really awesome. Thanks, Joe. Good show, says Montana Karting. And that's when we'll head on out. So if you're a fan of Pro Stock, if you're involved in Pro Stock, if you work in Pro Stock, if you've worked in Pro Stock, if you love this category, and I look up at the grandstands and the people that are in the stands for Pro Stock is like the largest crowd you get in drag racing other than for nitro cars. It's still a good crowd. And I used to say some people would walk out of the grandstand. Around the corner, here comes Warren Johnson and the Dodge Boys side by side getting ready to roll out at the Gator Nationals. And some fan is walking out of the stands because it doesn't go 100 miles an hour faster and burn nitro. I get it. which I, you know, there are certain things that work well for certain people. We just want to make sure you understand all the cool stuff that is going on in pro stock and all the great personalities you got. You got Erica Enders, you got Hartford, you got these Quadras are awesome. Derek, a whole lot of great people. The Kenny Delcos and the Larry Morgans, like all of these people trying to conquer this impossible riddle that is pro stock. It's just great stuff. They'll be in Chicago. Hopefully you guys will be out there and come on out. Hey, I want to remind everybody, Hot Rod Randy Lynn's Horsepower Headquarters, that is where you'll get the WFO 10th anniversary podcast t-shirt. I've been hearing they've been doing pretty well over there, which is good. Great to see the t-shirt back up and in the headquarters. The Hear It From Heiner show. This is for Patreons only. We've been picking them up. You're that person who loves pro stock. If you want to hear the Get Biofuel crew chief give a lot of insight into their success this year from the Bradenton test to winning. Wasn't very long. All right, guys, that's it for this week of WFO. Enjoy yourselves. If you're going to Formula One Miami, I'll see you there. Have a great weekend. Hit that archive. Thanks, Derek. WFO.